Previously on the Death Saving Bros podcast. They followed a blood trail back to the surge room of the Arkshine, where the blood stopped before AWOL. You look through the window patch that you placed up on the wall, and you see a passageway.
I will walk up Thad's shell to be boosted.
I caber toss him through the hole in the wall.
You land fine. This passageway goes 50 feet before there is a door.
I'm going to dangle from the latch until it pulls.
Chunk. And you are now behind the Majazu.
Is there blood on the floor?
The blood was washed away by the rain.
Looks like we've lost the trail, guys.
Eventually, you wind up making it out of the rain. You see Titus, and he just glares at you.
Is he wearing any metal on him at any place?
A couple of rings on his finger.
I'd like to heat metal.
You hear him yelp. Your favorite professor has been confined to quarters. I know that you're up to no good.
I charge him. This dude's gonna die or run away.
He runs away. The doors to the Arkshine open, and you can see Nora. I'm glad to see that you guys are okay. Titus has been spreading a lot of rumors about you. She is with two people that have hospital wristbands on. My friends Mary and Todd are okay.
Happy to see that people are waking up from the comas and stuff.
Now that you mention it, you guys said that you were off campus, right? So I wonder if not being close enough to the Arkshine is why those of us that didn't get sick didn't get sick. So you guys head on upstairs, maybe catch up on some lost sleep.
Priority is sleep, read, surges.
You do get a long rest, Manny, so go ahead and re-up everything. You gather that Morin Bell was able to strip the magic from magical elements. At some point, there was a magical experiment that went wrong. Everything was destroyed. As dawn approaches, you are able to get another 3 surges done, and you are ready now for a new day. Welcome to another episode of the Death Saving Bros podcast. I am your host and Dungeon Master, Paul Camper. With me today, I have Brad Richards.
Boner.
Nice.
Brad Renfro.
What is a Jedi's favorite form of art?
Boner.
Forced perspective.
Oh, is that a kind of art?
I'm kind of stupid.
I'm kind of uncultured.
I don't know art.
Someone who is cultured on this podcast, Matt Smith.
Well, that's a lie.
What does a wizard like to cook with?
Boner.
Cast iron.
Oh, Jesus.
His wine.
All right, Ben, can you keep the terrible jokes coming? We've got Ben Renfro.
All I can say, guys, is that I'm pulling my horn because I'm so horny to be here right now.
I'm going to the bathroom.
Have you used that one?
I don't think I use horn yet.
No, he also just hasn't been pulling it.
Not that you can see.
He's usually just telling you how awesome it is and how ready he is to do something. He's never saying
it's about time
he
started pulling it.
I mean, I could be blowing it like a kazoo.
He thought of that one about 5 minutes ago.
I was here. He was just like writing it down, talking to himself like,
kazoos.
Kazoo. Dot. That's a good one.
Dot
in his eye there.
Kazoo. Dot. That's
pulling
it.
Horn, knocks him dead, kazoo, kills.
For those of you just joining us now in the main feed of our podcast, we are talking about our conversation that we had prior to the recording of this episode that we post on Patreon. Every week before we record, we have a pre-show recap that goes a little bit off the rails as we try to figure out where we left off. But now we know what we did last time, and we are ready to get back into our story. Last time on the Death Saving Bros podcast, our adventurers were following a trail of blood after discovering Margaret's dead body in the Wicked Eye, which is where they were attacked by supposedly the former bar owner. They followed the trail of blood back down the secret tunnel towards the Arkshine, where they discovered yet another secret door in the basement of the Arkshine that led outside the Majazoo. Once they got behind the Majazoo through a trap door, they discovered that it was raining and that the trail of blood had disappeared. So they decided to cut their losses and head back to their dormitories. On the way, they encountered Titus and had some repartee with him. They encountered Nora and her friends Mary and Todd, and they got some information about how the individuals in the hospital were slowly recovering, and that tomorrow Professor Kane would be hosting a lecture where theoretically they might be able to get some more information about what is going on between him and Dean Livia and the experiments that are going on and what made everybody sick. So our adventurers went to bed to get ready for the next day of classes. Manny finally got some sleep, but he did have some nightmares. They woke him up in the middle of the night and he took the time to do some light reading and surge making. He learned about Morinbel, and the sun is now coming up. And that is where we are going to pick up with a new school day starting and Manny awake before his study mates.
All right, time to wake everybody up. I start with the normal morning routine of helping Thad get up. I can't remember. Do we say I just roll you over? Do I tilt the bed to knock you out?
Am I on the top?
No, you're bottom.
I'm the bottom.
You guys have a rope for this, actually.
All right.
Well, we talked about a rope for somebody to help themselves up.
I know I'm on my back, completely retracted into my shell. So,
and also, you don't see me on my bed at all or anything, but you do see a nicely folded pair of pants just on my bed.
Interesting. We'll get to that. I gotta wake that up first. Well, I'd like to, I guess, start with waking you up. Thad.
And
Thad.
All my limbs in my head just instantaneously pop out of their respective holes of the shell.
Of incorrect holes of the shell.
In an order that may surprise you.
Good morning there. Time to get up. You ready to do the thing?
Let's do this.
All right. And I proceed to help Thad out of the bed the way I do every morning.
You hear sounds of struggle.
Here, grab my trunk. I'm going to run in the opposite direction and try to roll you.
I firmly grasp it.
And I just take off in a run the other way to roll you out of bed.
All right. Well, I'm like 600 pounds. So how much could your trunk lift?
It can lift 5 times my...
Don't you dare say my trunk can lift 5 times my body weight.
It's probably my strength. It's probably my strength score. Yeah.
You can lift yourself up and then float around.
But no, that's still like lift. I could, if it's using it like a rope, you're just going to like stretch it out a lot. You ever try that method? How hard have you pulled your horn before? Try to give it that extra little bit, you know? Pull it like fucking taffy.
Wet it like it's a chicken and I'm wringing its neck.
Yeah, like when we're done with this, you can definitely tell it's a little skinnier and a little longer, but that's fine.
Can I have rug burn on it?
Every morning.
You're just really getting after this one, aren't you?
Every morning there's some rug burns.
Oh, my trunk back goes. A turtle on the other end.
Trunk's like twice as long as it's supposed to be.
No wonder when Manny starts helicoptering his trunk, it smacks people left and right.
I know what's wrong. I ain't got no gas.
So anyways, I come crashing out of the bed.
We could say it doesn't work. It's like, all right, let's...
I'd say either way, their foreplay, I mean, conversation about this would probably wake me up.
It starts to happen in a rocking motion. I don't just pull them one way. I just pull a little bit, and it starts... Thad starts rocking back and forth on his shell, and I keep tugging.
Say this in like a low, monotonous, quiet voice. Do like little ASMR as you're describing how you get him out of bed.
You just want me to start grunting silently with him? No, I'm not saying a rolling struggle.
No. I'm just saying continue talking, but just
Just sound like a Minecraft villager.
Just change your tone. Make it more... Make it more... je ne sais quoi.
I slowly pull him side to side, rocking back and forth.
Yeah, see, that's an example of doing it differently.
Fine, here's what we'll do.
Not correctly, but differently.
I will make the Manny sounds. I will play Manny. Thad, you play Thad. You do your rocking. Brad, you play the creaking bed from all of this happening.
What?
Do not involve me.
I didn't sign. I'm asleep. I ain't in this
no,
yet.
No, I'm asking you out of person to make this noise. If you want it to be acted out so badly.
I'm not saying act
you
it out.
You said make
change,
the noises.
I said change the tone of your voice.
It could either be the creaking bed or the rubber band snap of Manny's trunk.
And who's going to twoot? You gotta be the twooter.
Why did it take you guys 150 episodes to get through 1 week of school? Well, we spent a whole half hour talking about how this dude's going to use his trunk to pull a turtle out of bed.
I'm just trying to paint the picture for everybody. What was your joke? Forced perspective? Does that apply here?
Yeah, kind of.
Holy shit.
Okay, so... Manny runs the opposite way. Thad's holding onto his trunk, and he rocks out of bed.
Yeah, it takes a few tries, obviously, to get
right
you
out from under
to get you moving. But we hit it right.
I go crashing onto the floor, as usual.
All right, time to wake up Milo and Dixon. Oh boy!
To save us another 45 minutes, the crash woke me up.
Why is Milo's pants folded neatly on the bed with Milo missing?
No, that part's over. My whole bit, I'm...
Thad,
I'm
did you see where Milo went?
The whole joke... No. The whole joke, goodness. I was asleep
Dixon.
In my pocket.
Dixon, did you see him come out of his own pocket? How wild. All right. Standard procedure, phase two. Time to tilt the bed. So, I go over to Milo and Dixon's bunk, per normal, and I start rocking it. Not with my trunk, though. This is with my hands. Thad, can I have a hand with this?
Thad will also assist in rocking the bed.
Thank you. And it comes crashing down.
And there's a knife in the door.
That's phase three. Glad we survived that. Phase three is always...
And there's a knife in the door. You just see that we've like painted on like a little target on there. We're like, actually, you got 4 points this morning, Dixon.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Not bad.
I see you slept well.
There's still a recovering like scab on my arm from phase three the other day. Like from where I got cut.
From when Dixon did not have a good night's sleep.
Not bad.
Didn't aim at us this time. I think he's starting to like us.
It's going to be a good day. You got 4 points. Add that to the tally. Milo, tally that on the wall for the scoreboard.
Okay.
All right. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning, Vietnam.
Haven't even started the day. We're already fucking doing this shit.
All right. hopefully everybody slept well last night. I had an okay night's sleep.
I pulled my knife out of the door.
I woke up early and got some reading done.
Nerd.
Yep, I mean, but I found out a lot. So, you guys know, the other day, when Fackham was in the infirmary and he kind of admitted that his experiments were surrounding how to get the magical elements to access the weave out of alive or dead creatures. You recall that conversation at all, or were you guys not paying attention?
What is magic?
Were you talking?
Good.
I've been awake for 10 minutes. Let me get some food.
I thought it was important, but
and I pull a griddle out of my pants and start frying up some food.
Over easy, thanks. Anyways,
go on with your explanation. What are you talking about?
So, do you recall that conversation between Fackham and Dean Livia?
No.
Oh, well, great. Let's go all the way back to the beginning. So. I enlisted in school here 4 years ago.
Okay. Very good.
Fackham's experiment, when he was getting questioned, kind of had something go wrong, and that's why students were getting sick, is kind of some of the conclusion that's being looked into. What he was trying to do with that experiment that he said was find a way to make it so that we can take the magical elements of alive or dead creatures to be able to access the Weave for Magic. Because right now, as you remember from having to go get the griffin feathers, they had to be alive from a live animal for us to use that for magical power.
Yeah, they didn't like giving us their feathers either.
Right, so that's where you could see the benefit of being able to take it from a creature that's not alive. So, turns out in Morinbell, they were trying to do similar experiments before. But something went horribly wrong, and now there's mutated creatures there and weird shit happening and high like volume of magical concentration in that area. So very similar type of experiment that maybe Facum was trying to replicate. So that's what I figured out about the whole Morinbell stuff.
Well, so do we have to go to Morinbell now?
We could if we want to explore it. That would be an option for sure. Knowing that there might be mutated creatures and high concentration of magic and all that, we could definitely take it into our own hands and do that. We could also take that newfound information and go tell Dean Tyson about it, because he's been kind of leading up some of this investigation, see what he knows about that. Or we can go to class today, because as Nora told us last night, there will be a class today held by Facum, I think. So we can go to class and confront him.
Is it at 5 p.m.?
Yeah, probably. That's...
It's pretty late for a class.
I've had worse.
I have too, but...
When you're summoning demons all day.
Or, I don't know if we... How everybody feels about Facum lately. If we still think that he's good or bad or indifferent. Maybe he's just an innocent guy trying to do good in the world and something went wrong. We could have him accompany us to Morinbell and fill us in more on his stuff. Like, we could actually break him out of school because he's on surveillance. I don't know what. Maybe we can...
It's only the opposite of what you can do.
Maybe we can break him out of his watch and take him to Morinbell and have him explain to us what he was trying to do. That's an option.
I don't think that's a very good option.
I mean, he likes to vandalize things, and I don't know if I really want to be around that kind of energy.
I understand it, that. I'm still thinking about that vase. You know what? Next art class, let's all paint that vase.
We can't. It's broken.
You can paint a broken vase.
It's all about forced perspective.
But if you take a canvas and you paint on, like, you paint a portrait of the broken vase...
Why would you paint a broken vase?
In memory.
It's not still a vase if it's broken.
Sounds like a lot of work for a broken vase.
And what the fuck else are we doing here?
I have this eye pendant.
I didn't get to reading about that yet. Maybe tonight.
We could have a study montage.
Have you been wearing that pendant?
No.
Should we be?
No.
I'm scared of it. Until we know more about what it does, maybe not.
What if I can talk to the pendant? Is there writing on it?
I mean, you can talk to whatever you want. It's not going to talk back.
There is no writing on the pendant, but Dixon, did you say that you are not wearing it?
Yeah.
So where are you keeping it then?
Keistered.
In my pocket.
Okay.
That seems important. Keep them zipped.
No, but I can understand languages if there was a way that, you know, it could communicate because of my helmet.
Do you understand blinking in Morse code?
With my helmet on, yes, I can.
Because it's an eye.
Look, guys, really, the reality of what we should be doing here is either getting ready to go to class in 7 hours.
Let's just try to level up for this final.
Or going to Morinbell.
Or just trying to level up for this final.
I mean, we could just study up and take the final and be good students and get out of here. That's cool, too. But, Milo, could you really, are you not invested enough in this yet?
Nah. Yeah, you know.
About everything going on, it doesn't interest you, at least in like the slightest, to figure out like who's actually behind all this and what's going on?
I mean, it is all starting to get just a little bit confusing.
Yeah. But that's why we got all these pieces now. We just gotta figure out what ties them together, which we might be able to figure out in Morinbell or at class.
We can...
That's what I was saying. We can go to class or we can go to Morinbell. That's what I was saying.
We can have a study montage until with all the books that we already have until
yeah,
five.
You're
and
right.
Then we could go to class.
Okay. Sounds good. I'm going to get some espresso and start reading the pendant book that I have.
Oh, I've got some of that right here.
for the next 7. I imagine we woke up at like 10.
There's a knock at your door.
You took the knife out already, right, Dixon?
Sure did.
Great. I walk over and open the door. Hello?
Nora's there, and she says, okay, at least you guys are awake this time. Are you coming to class or what?
In like 7 hours?
No. At like 8 a.m., like normal?
What time is it right now?
7:50.
Okay.
We're late!
My clock was off. My clock is 2 hours fast.
My clock is off. I thought it was 7 hours ago.
Like, I thought it was like 10. She's saying it's like 8.
Yeah. That would be fast, yeah.
Then why do we have FACM 5 p.m. written on our board?
Yeah, I thought, Nora, didn't you say FACM was having a class at like 5 p.m.?
No, I said that I went to go get a package at 5 p.m. on the day that everybody got sick.
Oh. Well, that explains it. So wait, what class is going on here at 8?
Because everybody is still recovering from the illness, they're making sure that everybody's in the same class together. So it's going to be another study session / lecture given by Professor Kane.
Oh, well.
So I guess we could do that and then study montage.
I guess, boys, let's go. We got to be on our way if we want to make it to class in the next 10 minutes. Everybody ready? Milo, are you done cooking your breakfast?
No.
You might have to leave it.
I can't leave it cooking. I don't know what to do.
Cook on the way, and I scoop up the griddle with my hands. I throw Milo on my shell, and I hold it up so that I can run with him cooking on my back.
All right, we're out.
That's so hot.
Nora, I don't know. I appreciate you always making sure we're at class on time, because apparently without you, we would miss almost every class.
How have we made it to our senior year at the school?
So you're a true lifesaver here. Especially Manny, of all people.
Like, I know, I would have expected more from you.
Yeah, I heard that my whole life. But no. It's been a weird start to the year, Nora, as it has been with everybody. So thank you.
Right, and so are you going to try and talk to Professor Come on, let's walk and talk.
Yeah, we'll walk and talk, yeah.
So are you going to try and talk to Professor Kane in class? See if you can maybe figure out what he was doing? Because, like I said, the rumor is that you're all his favorites.
We definitely need to talk to him. We have some ideas of what he was trying to do, but I'm not sure if, do you think in class is the best time to try to, like, address it in front of everybody, or should we, you know, try to go visit his, like, office hours if he still is even able to hold those?
I mean, class is going to be the only time that you'll see him. He's under investigation, remember?
Yeah, and I guess we shouldn't sneak through the security and investigation and stuff like that and try to talk to him outside of it, huh? That doesn't seem like a great idea. Yeah. You know what? I think it would be a good time to talk to him. Yeah, I'll do that at class today. Why not?
Cool. All right. Well, I'll see you after class if you need to, or I don't know. I'll see you around. Good luck in class today. And she walks through the door to the lecture hall and goes down the stairs and goes to sit with her friends, Mary and Todd. And are you all going to sit middle back like you did last time?
Directly behind them in the whole auditorium. Mary. No. Well, where are we sitting, guys?
I'm going to turn into a bird and be sitting up on a light somewhere.
All right, Milo's gone. That digs it. Any preferences?
The cool kids' seats.
Nice. The ones with the velvet rope in front of them. The special aisle for us. I don't know. Yeah, we go to our standard middle back seats.
Okay. You take a seat and you recognize that the desks look just like they did the last time that you were here for a special class while everybody was sick. And as you're looking around, you notice that there are a few more people than there were the last time you came into the auditorium, which I think was just yesterday, honestly, in terms of time. Oh no, it was 2 days ago in terms of game timeline. But whereas there were, say, 30 people when everybody was sick, now there's maybe 40 people. And Titus is there. Nora and her friends are there. You don't see Winona, and you don't see anybody from the Pyrocross team.
Has Titus sat down yet?
Yes, Titus is front and center.
I'm going to put a little bird poopy on his desk.
Okay. You fly over his desk and drop a bird turd on his desk.
A bird turd, huh?
And you hear him cry out, "Oh, Dean Doble, did you see what the bird did? I know that that's you, Milo."
You see that I'm definitely not an owl, but I just go, "Ooh."
Dean Doble walks in from the side door down near the front, and she points up at you and says, "Milo, you will go and find your seat right this instant."
I guess I will fly down. I'm still going to be a bird for all this. So I'm just going to fly down and just perch myself right on my desk there. And I'm going to peck at my pencil and try to pick it up and be like, "Yeah, I tried." And I'm just going to stare.
You're just like, "Hey, hey," from Moana. You're just smacking your face into the desk.
"I got no thumbs."
Dean Doble crosses her arms and says, "I suppose that will do for now. Class, thank you all for gathering. As you can see, not many of you have recovered from the illness just yet. We are still observing many of your classmates, and they will be slowly filtering in throughout the coming days. Professor Kane will be leading today's lecture. We need to make sure that everybody is up to speed, but as you may or may not know, Professor Kane will be unavailable for after hours or for study breaks. He and the faculty are currently investigating what has happened, and we believe that there may be some evidence to support that his experiments may have played a factor. So, if you have any questions about today's lecture, please direct them to myself or to Dean Swiftprince. With that, Professor Kane, please begin today's lecture."
"I have a question."
"Yes."
"Are you in bird form still?"
"Yes."
"Now speaking?"
"Yes."
"Very good."
"Wait, you can't speak as a bird."
Bird.
Bird.
"Sorry. Tweet, you tweet. Just hear squawking then."
"But did you not know about the word?"
"Squawk!"
Professor Kane walks in from the same way that Dean Doble came into the room, and you can tell that he looks a little bit bedraggled, and he says, All right, everybody calm down. Milo, please stop your squawking. If you have something to say, you can say it in human form, or you will sit there and be quiet."
I lay an egg.
"As Dean Doval just said, I will be unavailable for questions. However, I need to make sure that you all have a handle on surge making. That is very important to make sure that you can get through all your other classes, and that is why you are all here today." And he begins drawing up on the board and going through all sorts of different mathematical equations and whatnot and explaining how surges work. Manny, you understand this. A lot of it's rudimentary. But for those of you that don't have alchemical background, it's kind of as if he's laying the groundwork so that you have a rudimentary understanding, just in case.
"It's a real head-scratcher. What does that word mean, Paul?"
"Rudimentary?"
"Yeah."
"Basic level."
"Oh, well, that makes
sense.
There
was another word you used, like, a moment ago, too."
"Bedraggled? Bedraggled?"
"Yeah, you said he was, like, bedraggled."
"The fuck does that mean, Paul?"
"That means
ragged."
"Yeah, you just say ragged."
"He looks like he's beat to shit."
"Yeah, disheveled."
"That doesn't help me, using disheveled to describe bedraggled."
"He doesn't have a shovel anymore? He's disheveled?"
"He's not bedraggled, he's disheveled."
"Disheveled. Oh, he's a gardener. Nice."
"He's when people are like, him. Oh, you look tired," and you're like, "You bitch." That's what he looks like.
Okay.
"Thank you."
"Well explained."
"Much better than using different words."
"Thank
that
you
I
for explaining
understand.
That in rudimentary terms."
"He figured it out.
You my fucking dick.
The more you know."
"You fucking English majors."
"I want to use my bird beak. And I want to pick up my pencil and I want to write a little note and I'm going to fly it over to Thad. And the note's going to basically say, if he's so, like, if his experiment messed up everything, why should we be listening to his class?"
"Is it written in chicken scratch?"
"Yeah, I'm going to look at it and be like, I can't read this shit."
"Looks like it was written by a bird trying to use its beak."
So while you're doing that, Professor Kane turns around and says, all right, now that I've given you all basic lessons, those of you that are actually alchemists, we are going to progress from level 1 and level 2 surges on to level 3 surges. I'm sure you have a basic grasp of the early low-level magics, so I'm going to need a volunteer to come up here and to demonstrate their level 3 surge-making capabilities.
I'm gonna squawk.
Manny, how about you?
I turn out of bird form. Pick me!
Yeah, that would be funny to watch.
Dean Doval steps forward and says, well, we're glad to have you back in Kender form, Milo. I don't think you're the right choice because you are, in fact, not an alchemist. But, and she turns more quietly to Professor Kane and says, Fackham, do you really think that choosing Manny is the best option? There are plenty of other students here.
Like me.
Titus jumps up and says, I volunteer to help with this demonstration.
Boo.
Sit down.
I go take another bird poop on his desk. I know I'm a human still.
Dean Doval says, there, see? Why don't you pick Titus? He seems eager.
Dude,
no.
Seems like a bitch.
Dean Doval, in fact, I'd love to do it. I'm just as eager to do it.
Give me an insight check on Dean Doval.
Oh, that's actually a natural 20.
She doesn't trust you. Based on the way that the rumors are going around about you being the favorites of Professor Kane and your accusations that started off this entire investigation, she clearly doesn't think that you and Professor Kane should be anywhere near each other. But Professor Kane says, now, Dean Doval, while Titus is very eager and he is perfectly a capable student, Manny has gone above and beyond to perform the best in this class. I think he is the best to demonstrate these mechanics. So, if you would please let me finish my lecture. Manny, why don't you come on down here?
Ooh. Some sass.
Sha-la-la-la-la-la, my oh my.
For who? Me and Fackham? Wrong time. Not what we rehearsed. Of course, and, you know, I give Fackham that look that, you know, he only wants number one in the class up here. You know, again, as, you know, top student in the class this whole year. And the last couple years as well, you know, more than happy to help. Just for demonstration purposes. Hopefully my peers can get the most out of this. And I shoot a wink over at Mary. But it comes off as just a blank and it's very poorly done.
Just wide-eyed fucking.
Okay. So clearly Titus looks pissed as hell when you go down towards the front, and there are an array of items on the table that Professor Kane asks you to put into motion, and I'm going to have you roll an Arcana check to properly put into practice the mechanics that he is teaching you for a level 3 surge.
That is a 13.
Okay, so you're putting it together, and as you do so, Professor Kane stops you briefly and goes, oh, no, Manny. I'm sorry, but that actually goes here. And he puts something in place for you. And once you're done, you test it like you did before. You put it on a scale, and there are bells and whistles, and it indicates that you have successfully created a level 3 surge. He says, there, see, class, that is how you properly make a level 3 surge. Now, this only has one slot in it, unlike Manny's first attempt at a level 1 surge, which had two slots. This only has one slot. But I'm sure you'll get the hang of it, Manny. Now, back to your seat.
Yeah, of course.
Did he just hoe you in front of the class?
Yeah.
I put my hand on my longsword. Someone's gonna die today.
I give you the it's okay, call it off. Hand
you gave
signal.
Me the thumb across the throat?
I'm like, no, with my thumb going across my throat, like, don't do this, but you might interpret that wrongly.
I just give you a big nod.
Professor Kane, then, as Manny is going back to his seat, puts his hands behind his back and says, all right, now that I have finished my demonstration for the day, I will step aside and allow you to furnish your studies further The magical desks are back in place, and you can ask it for any information that you may need. I will be gone for some time. I hear that there is the potential for a Pyrocross game to actually take place this week against the Danakeshian University. So I wish those of the Pyrocross team good luck, and go Arkshine. And he leaves the room.
Wait, Fackham, or Professor Kane. Professor Kane, before you leave.
He does not turn back. He leaves.
Damn. Should have rolled higher than a 13.
Is Dean Doval hanging out?
Yes, Dean Doval is still there, and she says, "All right, class, if you have any questions, I will be here. There will be specialized lectures this afternoon for those of you that wish to stay, but all classes will be held here. I'm sorry, but we do not have the resources to watch the entire grounds when such terrible things are happening. Everything has been shut down entirely except for the Arkshine Tower itself and the infirmary. We are not allowing anybody else outside the tower, except for potentially a Pyrocross game for the time being." DM Paul here, popping in real quick to give you your episode mid-roll. Hope all you listeners are enjoying this episode so far. As planned, this is the first of two installments that are being released on a temporarily adjusted schedule. The next episode, that will be episode 25, is currently planned for May 28th, 2024. And then, after that, should be back to normal. Speaking of planned things, we have also followed through on our promise from last episode to post another archives topic on Patreon at patreon.com/deathsavingbros. We went into a deep dive about Wilhelmina and Roscoe, two of the main NPCs from the earliest episodes of the podcast. For anyone interested in learning more about those characters, or about the others that we've written about, access starts for as little as $2. And that will also get you access to dozens of hours of extra audio content and lore from the show, including bloopers, conversational recaps, and extra episodes. And if you head over to Patreon and you wind up checking out our bonus content, you will join those that are already supporting us. Those patrons who have joined our Patreon at the $5 tier get a shout out at the end of the show. But the following individuals have pledged to support us financially at the $10 tier or higher, so they get their supporter shout-out right now. Ryan Cushman, Gene L. Jackson, and Gavin Knox. Thank you all for your support. And that's all I'll say in the way of announcements this week. Next time I check in with you, I hope to have some more news about new merchandise designs and about other content that's in the works. But for now, things are a bit on hold, as evidenced by this temporary release schedule. So I won't take up any more time. You'll hear from me again with episode 25 on May 28th, 2024. Otherwise, follow us on social media at Death Saving Bros for any other news. Without further ado, we now return you to your regularly scheduled programming. So after she finishes her talk, everybody kind of goes into their study groups that are there and starts talking to the desks, and you see books piling up on the desks as they get the various materials that they need to study. But Dean Doval is walking up the lecture hall towards you four.
Is she coming over because I called her name, or is she just coming to us?
Unclear, but she's coming towards you either way.
Great. So Dean, well, I guess I'll wait for her to get here.
We awkwardly pretend to not notice she's walking over until she's right there, so we're not just staring at her or calling out to her from a distance.
I've got like seven questions for this magical desk.
I've been staring at her this whole time. Well, more because just eyeing her down.
Okay, well,
she is on the smoke show list.
Is she? That means I'm not going to know how to talk to her.
While Some of you are waiting for Dean Doval to get there. Milo, what are you asking the desk?
Okay, well, the first thing I want to ask the desk for is if the desk has the Danakeshi and Pyrocross's team roster.
Ooh, ooh. And, like, their playbook and everything?
Just, yeah, yeah.
All their deep, dark secrets.
I want to get an edge on this game for my boys.
The desk provides a list of Danakeshian University players from the previous year. And you can see who is a senior, who's a junior, sophomore, freshman.
Beautiful. I also want to ask the desk for... last time I got the magic into food book or something like that, where I learned the spell Goodberry for like doing that. I wanted to see if there were any more like anything where I can like prepare food, adding magic to it to kind of like help out further along that.
When you ask it that sort of question, it pops up with a little sheet of paper that says, "You already have a book on Goodberry. The rest of your query is unclear."
Desk, I want to be an alchemist, but with food.
Another sheet of paper pops up that says, "Practice makes perfect."
You know, I think I did gain something from that still. Confidence.
Wisdom.
All right, I'll let you have one more question before Dean Doval gets there.
Okay, before she gets here?
Yeah, and then we can ask more after.
Okay, I want to know if the desk can actually... They provide books to us. Can they also provide any additional surges?
A sheet of paper pops up on your desk that says, "Surges are prohibited to be provided to senior classmen. They must be created by the alchemist assigned to your study group. Good luck."
Override previous order.
Override denied.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess Dean Doval's here. I still have more questions, but she's here.
And Dean Doval, who is a stern drow woman, stands above you, waiting for you to acknowledge her presence.
We don't. Power move.
Oh, I acknowledge it, all right.
Ting!
Ding!
Dean.
Dean
Doval, great to see you. Thanks for coming up.
Well, you asked her to come over.
Do you know why I'm here?
Oh, Dean, hello. Cancel last request desk.
She looks sidelong at you and then looks back to Manny and Thad.
Well... It could be a couple of reasons. One, it could be about Pyrocross, because you're looking at Thad and I. The more realistic reason. I could have a couple guesses, and I could also understand
well,
why...
Well, your first guess is correct. It's about Pyrocross.
So...
You really almost talked yourself into a hole.
So this has nothing to do with the fact
that... Anyway, Manny, she's here to talk about Pyrocross. Yes, Dean?
I get that, and you're working on our game plan here, and I appreciate that about you, Milo.
What are you talking about?
I see what you're reading over there.
When Thad hears Dean Doval utter the word Pyrocross, you hear not just a ting, but a resounding thud.
Thad, pull it together, man.
Thad, I believe you may have dropped a book there.
Yes.
This says,
Bend over to get it.
Nothing to do with the fact that you didn't want me in the demonstration, though? Just talking Pyrocross right now?
Well, yes. They are not... Anywho, I am here to talk about Pyrocross. We clearly do not have very many students that are well at the moment. And I believe that, considering that both of you are captains, Manny and Thad, and your study mates, Dixon and Milo, appear to be healthy and capable to have dodged whatever attack happened in the Wicked Eye, I am formally requesting that the four of you be assigned to our temporary Pyrocross squad.
Dean, the last...
Let's go!
Last time I attempted Pyrocross, they mistook me for the ball.
Milo, that was a dark day.
I believe it was because you transformed into a hedgehog, Milo, so there was some of your own culpability there.
It was a move we talked about. We asked him not to do it, but there was strategy there, and I know what you were going for with that hedgehog trick.
They were going to try to pick up the ball, and it was going to be me, and they were going to get pricked.
I understand your logic. but we'll avoid that. And if you play, Thad and I will do our best to make sure you stay out of harm's way. We'll carry.
Can we get extra credit?
Extra credit.
You will be provided with top marks for participation and any classwork that would be assigned while you are away. And we will also give you each a surge that is inclusive of fourth level spell slots.
Well, say no more.
Nah, Milo's the easy one to convince.
Just so happens I'm the best ball in Pyrocross.
Milo's easy to talk into this. And then the rest of us look over down the line at Dixon.
Dixon, if you play Pyrocross, you can harm other people as much as you want.
You could use those and axes for good.
And you also will probably get injured. Forget what we told Milo. We're full of shit. You're definitely going to get hurt.
Can you kill somebody in Pyrocross?
As long as... and
you might get a red card.
I lean over so Dean Doval doesn't hear this. And I'm like, as long as you make it seem like an accident.
No.
No, you won't play?
Or no, you won't make it seem like an accident?
No.
We'll get him there. I think we could get him there.
No.
What about instead of Dixon getting a fourth level surge, Dean Doval, what if you can supply him with a new shiny axe? Would that do it for you, Dixon?
No.
No?
You ever try cutting your wrist with an axe?
What do you want to cut your wrist with?
Dixon, what would it take in order for you to go to Danakesh?
A good question. I'll
do you understand?
You know, I have an answer.
If you play, it'll make Thad very happy because that's all he's here for. And if you don't play, we might have to forfeit, which means he won't get to play, and he'll just have to listen to him sob at night.
No, you guys.
I
want to
get really close, really
it.
Right up in Dixon's face, like an inch from his face, and be like, "I need this. I need this. I need this. I need this."
I loosen up my longsword.
I need this.
You don't want to make your friend happy.
I don't have those.
And Dean Doval leans in and says, yes, don't you want to make your friend happy? Your study mates happy? Your school proud? Your dean grateful?
Your blade sharper? Who said that?
You mean the school that thinks we have something to do with why everyone's sick and all the deans that think we're behind it too? You mean that school?
No, never, never.
I just start whistling.
La 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 la.
But Dixon, if you want to, you can roll an insight check for me.
Damn.
I do believe that there are some inspiration points floating around this group if you want to re-roll.
I have none.
I have one.
Damn.
Oh, wait, that's better. 14.
Even with a 14, you can tell she wants you to go to Danakesh. She doesn't want you to go play Pyrocross. She asked, what will it take for you to go to Danakesh?
No.
I'm going to whisper Dixon's ear, if you don't do this, I'm going to start crying. It's going to be very awkward, and I'm not going to stop.
Have you ever heard a turtle sob?
Yeah, right after he found out you didn't close.
Do you want him to experience that kind of pain twice in a week?
See, turtles, when they're from the second they're born, they have to fight their way across a beach to not get murdered so they can make it to the sea. That doesn't bother me nearly as much as you're saying no.
Wait, did you come from the sea?
Seaman.
I'm a seaman.
If a new shiny longsword were to make it my way, I might be able to accompany this Danakesh trip.
I'll do you one better. Plus one. And she pulls out a longsword from a bag at her hip and hands it to you. And you can tell that it is the sharpest sword that you have ever handled.
She had it swallowed. She's a sword swallower. And she removed it from her throat. Ting!
Wait, I feel like I agreed too
Thad
easy
passes
now.
Out. There's no blood left in his head.
Okay,
Milo, dude. We're getting surges that have a level 4 slot. He's just getting a sword.
I pick myself back up off the floor. Wait a minute, I don't need a surge. What do I get?
The joy of playing, Thad.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
I just want to stare at the dean like I understand and just say, okay, Dean, I'll go.
You can't really tell if she got the message that you were trying to send with your eyes. Like, I understand, I'll go. But she says, very well. And Thad, you're right. You clearly don't use magic, so instead I will make sure that Kairasta has a firearm of your choosing pulled up and ready for you before you depart.
Yes.
A musket.
And for Manny, we will deduct 10 points from Titus's final.
Yes.
Milo and Manny, you still get your surges that have a level 1, level 2, level 3, and level 4 spell slot.
Very good. So yeah, we'll go. When do we leave?
This evening. This afternoon would be even better.
She pulls your packed bags out even of her better, bag. Huh?
How's right now sound? I'm ready.
If you wish to go right now, all the better. You will be arriving at the Danakeshian University, where you will be housed until the game 2 days from now. And if you wish, you can attend lecture there. You can see the sights if you wish. But of course, everything comes back to a final, so hopefully you do, in fact, study.
Who do we have to go talk to over there?
Well, you will be, of course, going with Coach Rolta. She will make sure that you are ferried to the correct places and you're at the field on time. I'm sure that she will factor in some practice time for you before your game.
Very good.
Great. So, Dean, can we talk about the fact that you didn't want me involved in that demonstration up there? What did I do? I mean, I think I could put some guesses together, but curious.
Give me a persuasion check.
God, she's a very difficult woman.
Let Not it go. Very persuasive.
Paul, Let you are go. A very difficult woman.
But I rolled a 16.
Manny, 16 does get the Dean to answer the question. She says, Manny, let's be honest. Clearly, Professor Kane has some predisposition to you and your study mates. He offered to get you extra credit. You have been seeing him fairly regularly on extra credit projects and on surge-related materials, and right now he's under investigation. So I think that the farther we put you and your group away from Professor Kane, the better it will be for you. That way we can purely look into any misdeeds that Professor Kane may have committed, and if he's guilty, we remove him from his position and have the authorities deal with him. If he's not guilty, then we reinstate him and life goes on as normal.
So, you're worried that you don't trust him with us, but have you thought about the fact that there's a chance we don't trust him in general? You know, just want to put that out there for you as well, that, you know, we're also trying to figure this out too. We've been close to this the whole time.
I completely understand that, which is why I would like you to go and represent the Pyrocross team in Danakesh, because while you're gone, we will be able to put any ill will towards you to rest and hopefully end this investigation. In case you were not aware, there are some students that believe you to be responsible for these illnesses.
I think there's just one.
Was it Titus? What'd that rat bastard say?
It's just rumors going around, started by one student, which I'm sure you know who it is. But fair enough. While we're gone, though, I know Coach Rolta was part of the only one really keeping the eye on Vacuum, like making sure he was staying in his room. Who's going to be taking over the watch duty there?
We will have a rotation. The deans will keep him in line.
Okay. Fair enough. One last question that I have for you, since Vacuum snuck out of the room before I could ask him any questions. What do you know about what's going on in Morinbell ever since the failed experiment there? Are you familiar?
Morinbell fell as a civilization some 200 years ago.
Right. And do you know why?
They were very advanced in magic, and they pushed the limits of magic a little too far.
Right. Similar to what, you know, maybe Professor Kane was trying to do based on what he said his experiment was about. But, you know, just kind of leads, you know, me thinking, you know, when's the last time, like, any, like, is it Do you know if anybody, it's like a place that people recently has like visited, gone to, like, do you know what's like currently happening in that area?
Morinbel is strictly off limits. It is a dead zone. It is a dangerous zone. No one goes there.
No one's supposed to go there, but is there a way of knowing if somebody has been there recently?
No, but if you do find out that anyone was there, or if it is found out that you were there, it will be grounds for immediate expulsion.
You know, that's not something I would risk. I was just curious. I was doing some reading, found a lot of similarities between what seemed to happen there versus what Facum was trying to accomplish. So, you know, if you guys look into that any further, be a good starting point.
Very well. I will take your advice under consideration, Manny. As of now, I need to go tend to the other students, so I will leave you to your studies.
Great. We'll do our school proud.
Hell yeah!
And Dean Doval walks away.
Did we ever look and see who checked out that book last? Like, was there like a sign out thing in the pocket of that book?
No, but I'm also trying to curious, like, where's Danakash? Is that anywhere near Morinbel?
Southwest?
Well,
us?
One thing I will ask the desk for then is a world map so I can find that out.
Okay. The world map that Milo asked for pops up on the desk, and you can see that based on the known realm of Ralvaria, you have central in the map is the Kingdom of Trugala. To the west, on the coast beyond the Barrier Ridge Mountains, are the Free Cities. Below Trugala is Danakesh, and to the east and a little bit farther south of the Arkshine is Morinbel. It's about halfway in between Arkshine and Danakesh, but farther east.
Very good. Is the Dean still by us, or has she walked away?
She's gone.
Well, guys, we have 2 days till we have to be in Danakesh for the game. You guys feeling a little detour?
Aren't we being ferried by the coach?
We will meet her there.
Or we can stop there on the way back.
You want to go?
When there's not as much attention on us.
Oh, you heard her. Once we're gone, the attention's off us. It's going to clear her name.
What if we go there? And we get stuck there, and then we miss the game.
Okay, you know, yeah, that's...
Let's just have some fun, Manny.
I am having fun. This is how I have fun.
Pyrocross comes first. Intrigue, people dying, whatever. Fuck all that.
All right. No. You know, that was... I know you need this.
I need it.
I know you need this. That's,
I need
that's fine.
It.
We'll go to Danakesh first. Play Pyrocross. Swing by Morinbel on the way home and be back home before anybody notices that we were gone longer than Coach Roll told us.
Also, while we are here, Thad would like to request from the desk a list of the current students, and if there's any kind of list that would have some kind of like general info or like family pedigree or history on each of the students.
Arkshine students?
Yes.
It gives you a list of student names, but it doesn't give you anything else.
What were you trying to do with the student names?
I was hoping there'd be some kind of like way to establish that these people are like actual people and there's not someone who's just like,
I'm married.
Just showed up to the school and isn't like supposed to exist.
Yeah, my name is Mary. Well, there's not a Mary in our class, so.
You can confirm with the list that everybody that is currently in the room is supposed to be in the room.
Could I ask Desk for books on elixirs?
A giant tome pops up on your desk called The Encyclopedia of Elixirs.
Great. Paul, essentially what I'm trying to do with this, I know I have my 8 experimental elixirs. I'm trying to extend that to learn other experimental elixirs because that's exactly what they are. I'm experimenting with them. Where maybe I can expand from rolling a D8 to a D10 and come up with 2 more elixirs that I could mess around with. I just thought of the idea. Maybe an example is invisibility, where you turn invisible for 1 minute after you drink it.
Yeah, I think that we could roll with that. We could homebrew something.
Well, that's what we did, because we took the initial six, and I homebrewed two on top of it. So, like, if we did, like, a 9 and 10, and, like I said, something like invisibility, where you drink it, you turn invisible for 1 minute, or, like, something else just random.
Yeah, we can talk about that. It'll take you a little while, obviously, to get through the encyclopedia of elixirs, so we'll figure that out.
Cool. So I'm going to read some of that, I guess. And that's all I can think of that I need to read right now.
Just out of shits and gigs, I do want to ask the desk if it can help me in any way, shape, or form cast the wish spell.
It pops out a piece of paper that says, I wish I could.
Hey-o.
Better not, or I'm going to burn this desk for its sass.
You just get a sassy desk.
That'd be cool.
You're in the sassy seat. You just only get sass responses. Everybody else gets legitimate stuff.
I'd carve my name on that desk and make best friends with it. And I'd like sneak to it after class. And we
just
understand hang out.
Carving your name in that desk is just like taking a knife and dragging it through its skin.
It's pretty metal, man.
You tattooed him in his sleep.
It's a bond that never dies. You get a slip of paper that says, I wish that I could help, but you are not able to cast the spell.
Uh-oh.
Essentially, druids can't cast the spell wish.
Wait, really?
Yes.
Wow. Desk, prior to going to Danakesh, I'd like a book on the history of Danakesh, as well as suggestions on places to eat and visit while there.
I just shot myself
a tourist guy.
It's Trip Advisor. It's just...
You get a book that says The Trugallan's All-Encompassing Guide to Danakesh. But you also note that it is a very ratty old book that's dated 50 years prior.
Great. This will do. I walk in there, please bring me to... And I just start naming off places that nobody's ever heard of.
That's been closed for like 3 decades.
Very well.
So, is there anything else that anybody wants to get out of this study session?
So, Thad also, the second thing he wanted to request was the most recent copy of Ralvarian's Gone Wild for the articles.
Ralvarian Illustrated, Trugallan Illustrated.
A slip of paper pops up. This material is restricted.
But you do have it.
This material is restricted.
Thad, didn't we figure out how to get the desk to give us restricted stuff in the past?
I pull out my gun and I now.
Sorry, Thad. I wanted to see
tears and pain.
I just wanted to see the Pyrocross players in the lingerie too. The lingerie Pyrocross league.
What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with me? What's wrong with you?
A lot of things.
Dixon, what's your type? Not asking for me, obviously.
Metal,
B positive,
sharp, steel, obsidian works really well too.
Do you have interest in men or women?
I don't think weapons have gender.
That's the only thing that turns you on. All right, so let me ask you this. What if there was a magazine out there that just showed the shiniest weapons, you know, fin, feather, and fur, like deals and sales, you know what I'm saying?
No, sure don't.
Imagine a picture book, right? Shiny knives, swords, axes. What would that do for you? Really nice handles, blood dripping off of them occasionally.
I'd say that's a bloody knife.
How does it make you feel?
Like I'm looking at a bloody knife.
Good chat. That was fun. We should do it again.
I hope we don't.
You see what I was going for, right, Thad?
Listen, Manny, that Morinbel book that you got everything from, like no one's supposed to know anything about that. No one's supposed to go in there. The same thing is happening from this. So is like, can you just look in the book and see if somebody checked it out before you?
I mean, I can.
Okay, open the book.
But... What if just people are interested in history?
Okay, I'm going to roll to pick his pocket if he doesn't do this.
All right, well, pick my pocket. It's not in my pocket. Chill out. Stay your, away from my pockets.
I pick your trunk? How does this work?
Don't you put your hand in my trunk.
Put your fingers up his nose?
All right, fine.
Better than his butt.
Milo, if it will satisfy, well, if it pleases.
Yes, Manny?
All right, fine. If it will shut you up, I look to see who checked out the Rise and Desolation of...
The Wizarding Community of Morimbel.
The Wizarding Community of Morimbel before me.
Okay, so you're looking in the book?
Is there like... Well,
or
no.
Or we'll ask the desk. I mean, it's...
Gonna... Yeah, I don't know if it's like right inside the front of the hardcover. There's like a sign out like you write your name
on
it.
Yeah, like in grade school.
Right, or if it's like the desk knows, but that's essentially what I'm trying to do.
There is no library card with checkout dates in the book.
Desk. Do you know who checked out the Rise and Desolation of the Wizarding Community of Morimbel prior to Manfred McQuaid?
God, what a band name.
On your desk appears a library card, and you see Manfred McQuaid as the most recent checkout, and you also see the names of Fackham Kane and Donnie, who checked it out in the past. But in between Donnie, who checked it out last year, and Fackham Kane, who checked it out this year, is the name Dola Livia.
Makes sense.
We have to talk to Donnie.
Well, Donnie told me to check out the book in the first place.
Mm.
And then after Donnie, Dean Livia did it. Then Fackham Kane. Then me. Now I'm a suspect. Great.
Wait. Can we scratch off the name of Manny?
Poorly scratch it off and write in Titus. Misspelled.
Tight ass. All right, so this doesn't really reveal... Like, we knew Donnie had it. I could have definitely guessed that Fackham had it. And we know Dean Livy has been kind of in the mix as well, so I guess it's not like a major reveal, but it's good to know that she might also have... Well, she knows about Morimbel. She was also the one that got Fackham to admit what he was doing, so she might have more information about what Fackham was actually trying to replicate and everything else like that.
Let's go narc.
I don't know what that... It's just a book.
I'm just a bill.
Somebody's been there recently.
And we're going to figure it out. Just because there's names on this book doesn't mean that they've been there. But it is good to know, and it's good to keep an eye on it. Maybe we question her about it.
Not our job to question them, Manny. It's our job just to pass the final.
Milo, you're pretty much right. but...
You're a fucking idiot, but you're right. Again, also worthless.
Aren't you the least bit interested in solving this ourselves?
He's scared of me.
Well, actually, Kenders are technically fearless.
Okay, well, he's scared of me.
I was gonna say, you're just a weird enigma.
Would you call me?
A rudimentary, bedraggled enigma.
The inner workings of my mind are an enigma.
You see Liang coming down the row towards you. He says,
"Oh, hey, guys.
Li?
Heard you guys are going to go play Pyrocross. I was told by Dean Doval that I should remind you to go pick up your gear at the WAC before you head out."
It's very odd that she told you that. Just
which
random,
is standing right over there.
Random peer when she was just talking to us. She's like, "Hey, why don't you go up and tell them that?" It's a little odd.
Well, that's because she was tutoring me, and then she said that it was taking too long, and I should come tell you this because you haven't left yet.
Wow.
R.I.P. Sorry for your loss.
What loss? What class are you are you struggling with?
Oh, everything.
No, thank goodness you're not in our group. I mean, don't worry.
You'll get there, buddy.
You'll survive the final. I'm sure of it.
You almost died. Not even close to the final, but you got this.
What do you mean I almost died?
Never mind.
You know, we're looking to bring home the trophy for us, so... Thanks for delivering the information.
Yeah.
Well, we'll be on our way to the WAC here in a moment.
Okay. Hey, Dixon.
No.
No, what?
Oh, what?
Oh, you still have that eye pendant?
Sure don't.
Oh, I thought that you would like it.
It was destroyed. But if I did still have it, what would you be saying next?
I would ask, why aren't you wearing it?
I'm not wearing it because it was destroyed in an unfortunate pot-breaking accident with Facum Kane.
Oh. Bummer.
But just know that Facum did break the pot and also caused my necklace to break.
Dang. All right. Well, hope you guys go Arkshine. Good luck.
And he leaves.
After he leaves, can I ask the desk about any eye pendant ever made
ever?
You just
put on the eye pendant, and next time he sees you, wait a second.
Yes, I ask the desk about every eye pendant ever made ever.
I think I already have that book. You want to see it?
Yes.
You actually get a stack of papers, Dixon. When you take a look at the pictures, it looks like somebody Xeroxed. They look like photocopies. And Manny, if you glance over, you recognize like the top page as being one of the first pages out of the same book that you have. But instead of being a 1,500 page book, it's a sheaf of papers that's maybe 200 pages thick.
Interesting. And it's like, it looks the same as my book does. Like, it's not...
Well, you see, the dust magically photocopied it because you have the book right now.
Right.
And it also cut out all the bullshit that had nothing to do with eye necklaces.
So it couldn't give him a copy of the book that you have, so it just made a magical copy of the important
Very
information.
Cool.
Which was approximately 1,300 pages of bullshit.
Very cool. That would make my reading easier, too. But try to match up the pictures. Let me know what you find.
I hand you the stack of papers.
Thank you. Really what I was hoping for.
All you. And then, can I take the eye out of my pocket?
Yeah.
They're going to say, can I just like pluck it out of the medallion and fiddle with it?
I wonder if I put an eye patch over it.
I want to stare at it very intently. Does it blink? Does it move? Does it do anything?
It does not blink or move or shimmer or shine or anything, but it's still the same eyeball that it always was. It looks like an actual eyeball that has been lacquered.
Magic desk, can I please have anything on using eyes as gateways to... No, eyes as pendants to see what they see. Kind of like a tracker.
For ritualistic eye usage?
No, picture Mr. Potato Head, how he loses his eye underneath Andy's dresser.
Kind of like that, yeah.
And he closes his one, but he's able to see out the other. That's what he's going for.
The photocopied pages that Manny has sitting on his desk disappear, and only a third of them remain.
Keep narrowing it down. The answer's in there.
It seems to like you.
Desk, give me everything I just said, plus leaving the user's eye black and void of light.
Think that's Mabel's eye?
Mm-hmm.
The desk doesn't return anything.
Desk, give me everything I just said.
But minus the black eye part, since it yielded no results.
Please. And also types of creatures that are able to perform that magic.
You get a sheet of paper that says, your query cross-references two separate topics. Would you like to broaden your search?
Yes.
Okay. You wind up with approximately the same number of photocopied pages, and you also get a book that says Creatures of the Night, the Bog, and the Marsh.
Yes.
Do you just keep handing me stacks of paper and books?
Manny, read this. Now read this.
Manny, read. Scan this. Tell me what you find.
This is going to take a while, guys.
Good thing we have two days not that of much travel. Time.
If somebody can carry me, I could read the whole way.
As you say, we have not that much time. Dean Doval at the front claps her hands and says, all right, class,
thank you very much for your hard work this morning. We hope you have a pleasant lunch.
Not now, damn it.
Please exit the lecture hall for now, and we will see some of you back for specialized lecture later today. And for those of you that are going to be playing in our Pyrocross match, go Arcshine!
I just look at Thad.
The final countdown just starts playing.
Wait, I have one final thing to ask the desk.
Is it about the final countdown?
No, it's if I can have a spell to shrink something.
Why would you usually want to enlarge something? Why
just
would you
hold
want
on.
To shrink it?
I would like a spell to shrink something and then enlarge something, obviously.
There you go.
To counteract each other.
You mean my enlarge slash reduce spell that I have?
Yes, exactly that.
No, he wants a spell that just keeps something the exact same size it already is.
Can I have a spell that doesn't change objects?
Actually, that could go very well. Manny, do you want to just cast that spell real quick?
What, are you going to shrink the desk and put it in your pocket?
Yes!
Jesus Christ. I hate the fact I was on the same wavelength as you.
We have the infinite source of knowledge just at our disposal, then.
I don't think it works outside of the school.
That's a dumb thing to think.
How does that make sense?
We haven't tried it yet. It's a magical desk. Is it enchanted that it can't leave this room?
What, are you going to shrink it when you bring
it
out
in
your
pocket?
I actually, okay, put it this way. I fit a whole keg in my pocket. I don't have to shrink the desk.
Just put it in your pocket.
But I mean, I don't think it's going to work outside
the school. I steal the desk.
Sure, I will allow you to steal the desk.
Bring it up to our dorm room.
You fucking like
it's
going to
be a good night.
All right, I'm content. I don't care what else happens tonight.
As you manage to get the one leg of the desk into your pocket, and then it just starts getting like sucked in as if it's getting sucked through a wormhole. It jostles the desk next to it, and it jostles Manny's surge that he just built. It falls off the desk, and the piece that Professor Kane had put in place for you pops off.
I pick it up and put it back together.
When you pick it up, you notice that there is actually a slip of paper tucked inside the corner of that piece.
Don't act like you did something.
Yeah!
Don't act like you fucking did something.
Alright, look what I found, guys!
I knew it all along.
What was that?
I quickly just slip it into my pocket like nothing happened, just until we've gotten back up to our room.
I hate the fact that played out like that.
And,
all right, so you're going back to your room first to pack before you head out?
Yeah, well, we gotta stop by the WAC. We gotta stop by our room. Do we run into Nora and company on the way out of the classroom?
Sure.
Hey, Nora. Hey, Todd and
Mary.
I know.
So you were halfway through it while thinking.
I'm just Mary, and I blush.
Oh, I see.
Nah, this was a bad idea. I run.
All right. And I guess we will find out next time where Manny stops running.
He doesn't.
There are plenty of outstanding questions that we have yet to answer on this show. Like, will Manny ever be able to talk to...
anybody.
Anybody, normally. Will he ever stop running? Will Milo's magical desk work? What is in the note that Professor Kane put in the piece of Manny's surge? All these questions and more will be answered, hopefully next time on the Death Saving Bros podcast. We hope all you listeners enjoyed this episode. If you can't wait to get your hands on more content from us, feel free to join us on Patreon. There are all sorts of tiers, and we have plenty of extra content, including bloopers, those pre-show recordings that we mentioned at the beginning of this episode, all beginning at just $2 a month. If you would like to keep in touch with us in between episodes, we are available on social media at Death Saving Bros. I am personally available at HP Camper.
You can find me at Benfro15.
I'm at @ima_b_rad.
Fuck you and follow the Reddit.
And you can find me on the PlayStation Network as FATT-Smith.
And to all those of you who are listening in your cars, in your homes, or wherever you may be, keep saving those death throws, and we'll see you on the next one.
This episode was made possible by our patrons. The following individuals have pledged at the $5 tier. Tad Corsi. Thank you for your support. Some of the sounds and background music in this production are copyright material. The songs, Sancho Panza Gets a Latte, and Thinking Music are by Kevin MacLeod at Incompetech.com. These tracks are licensed under Creative Commons Attribution License 3.0. The track Midnight Magic is music by Orchestralis. The song The Dangerous Dole Olivia is by Ivan Duke. This track is used with permission, all rights reserved.